Hey, I am officially announcing the 6th annual Shepherd's Crook Intensive in Eminence, Missouri, May 16th through the 18th, and we would love to have you there. This year, AD Robles is going to be the speaker, along with Matt Reynolds and myself, and we're going to be spending 3 days, 2 nights, just having a great time hearing really good teaching, but also having a really great time just doing some cool stuff. We're going to have a strongman competition, we're going to have an arm wrestling competition, and we're going to canoe about 50 miles on two of the most amazing rivers in the Midwest. We would love to have you come. If you're looking for a good father-son trip, this is the trip for you. If you're just looking for a really good men's trip, this is the trip for you. Would love for you to register today. Go to theshepherdscrook.co. Or just reach out to me and I can make sure you're on the list. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a great day today. I think this is the first time, I think ever, that I'm recording in the evening. But we worked this out. I'm really excited for this conversation with the Puritan Pub, about the Puritan Pub, with my friend Aaron Schaffawalaf. Schaffawalaf, I think I got it. We're going to be hearing from him, and Joe Banks was going to be here also talking to us. They're the co-founders of the Puritan Pub. But first, just want to remind you, before I pass it off to Aaron, I want to remind you a few things we have going on. We still have time. You still have time to make it to the Shepherd's Crook Intensive. Hope you can. Look at your calendar. Mark it off if you can make it, the 16th through the 18th of May. We'd love for you to be in Eminence, Missouri. AD Robles is going to be speaking. Matt Reynolds is speaking as well. And we're going to have a great time with a strongman competition. We're going to be floating two rivers over 2 days, about 40 miles of beautiful bluffs, beautiful clear water rivers, the Jack's Fork River and the Upper Current River. It's just beautiful. It's some of the most beautiful rivers in the Midwest. We'd love for you to be there. And we're going to hear great teaching. Have a great time. We'll have some Reformation coffee from Brandon Lansdowne, infamously named Baywatch Brandon. It's just an overall great trip. Father-son trip, men's trip. Check it out. Check out the links in the show notes. And also, I want to give a shout out to the sponsor of the month, Yukon River Knives. I've talked about Yukon River Knives the last few years. Love this company. It's a premium knife company. If you want a knife that will just last, and it's a top-of-the-line kind of knife that is built to last, but it's also built for a mission. They're supporting mission work on the Yukon River in the Yukon. And it's just a great group. Adam Ray is now the co-owner. Jeremy McMorris, I've had on before. He used to own the company. And Ron Stepp. So it's Ron Stepp and Adam now that are the co-owners of Yukon River Knives. And they're doing a great job. I'm going to check that out. Again, follow those links in the show notes. Okay. Aaron Schaffawalaf, how's it going, brother?
It's good to see you, brother.
Why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll get to know you and talk about the pub. All right, Father, I just pray for blessing upon this conversation. I thank you for all that you're doing in Aaron's life and ministry and family, and just excited to hear some of this as my listeners are listening in and getting to know him. I'm also still getting to know him a little bit. So I just ask for this to be a really good, fun conversation. And God, I thank you for what's happening with the Puritan Pub. And I ask for blessing upon that work and the mess that is social media. The craziness that is social media, it doesn't have to be that way. And God, I pray that that places and companies like the Puritan Pub would continue to grow. And I just ask that this would be just a small piece to that. And just bless this time. I trust you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Aaron, Amen. Why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself, tell us about your family, and then what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a born-again believer. I attend a local evangelical church with my family, my wife and 3 kids. In 2005, I moved to Utah to do evangelism, especially to the LDS or Mormon people. And a little bit of backstory behind that, I did a 7-week mission trip to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And I fell in love with doing street evangelism here. So I went back to Ohio and I told my then girlfriend, now wife, Stacy, if you marry me, I'll probably want to move to Utah and do evangelism. So in 2005, we moved, and I was a part of a series of church plants. I took advantage of the COVID season to go out to Kansas City for 2 years, where I became quick friends with Kale, who is one of your friends.
That's
and
right.
It just felt like it was a small world. He was right across the hallway from us at the apartments at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. So I ended up moving back to Salt Lake, and I'm a computer programmer by trade, and sort of the rhythm of my life is doing 9 to 5 computer programming, being an involved church member, doing street evangelism on Thursday nights when it's in season. We've objectified that to 50 degrees at 7 p.m.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that in season, out of season doesn't preclude us taking the winter off.
Yeah.
It gets kind of cold here. And then I work as a volunteer with Mormonism Research Ministry and the Utah Research Christian Center.
Okay.
Utah Christian Research Center, which collectively aims to help believers understand good reasons to trust the Bible.
Okay.
And the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus, and also to help equip believers to understand and witness to their Mormon neighbors.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, it was really neat to know Kale was there and meeting some good folks, and he was telling me about you. And Kale and Kelly were and are dear friends of ours. They're now in California, but he was an evangelist also, and he is an evangelist, loves talking to people about Christ and thinks through apologetics and really applies those apologetics really well. And it sounds that like that's exactly what you're doing out there. And so that's cool. You're in Utah then. And so for evangelism then, are you working alongside? Because I know that Apologia does a lot of stuff out there. And I know that the Ogden crew is out there as well. You ever bump into Brian Sauve and the Ogden guys out there at all?
Prior to COVID, we were at Temple Square
okay.
downtown at the North Gate, where people would cross the street to go to and from the Tabernacle Choir practice and then back into the Temple Square proper area. And it was just an excellent fishing hole. And we would have members from Refuge Church up in Ogden come down. And they were just very dear brothers, very engaged, loved evangelism, bold, kind. When COVID hit, that was about the time I moved to Kansas City, but
yeah,
for the overlapping time that I was still in Utah, we switched venues down to Provo, Utah, which is near BYU, and the Provo City Center Temple. And the one reason is that the young adults there cared far less about COVID restrictions and masks, and they felt a whole lot freer to talk. So down in at the Provo City Center Temple, we often have the Apologia Utah crowd with Wade Orsini, Von Krant, big heart, beloved brothers, very sweet natured, kind, but you know, very boots on the ground, engaging people with the gospel. Some of my favorite people in the world.
Man, that's great.
And a great problem we have down in Provo is we'll sometimes have too many believers at the corner, so it's saturated. Okay. And so maybe 5 or 6 of us will split off and go to a corner near the campus of BYU, next to the Red Brick Oven restaurant and pizza restaurant. I'm sorry if I'm monologuing here, but one of the things we do after the night is done is we'll go back to the Provo City Center Temple corner,
and we'll
go get pizza. And I will often just bring it out to the street corner, and then we'll all sit down after, you know, 3 or 4 hours of evangelism, whatever it is, and we'll eat and we'll pray and we'll sing and we'll debrief and we'll talk about the names of the people we talk to. So I honestly, what hooks people into that whole rhythm on Thursday nights is a combination of the sweetness of sharing the gospel with the lost people and the fellowship of other believers who likewise enjoy that.
Man, that's cool. Very cool. Well, I love what you're doing. It's awesome. Simultaneous, you got this deal and ministry on the side, and I guess that it kind of connects with some of the stuff you do with your trade. Just being in that world is the Puritan Pub. So you and Joe were co-founders. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about Joe and then how the pub got its start, and you got all these other irons in the fire, and we're here talking about the pub. So why don't you bring us up to speed on that, like the origin stories, and tell us about Joe a little bit as well.
Yeah, Joe Banks is a dear brother from Faith Community Church in Kansas City. And I'll tell you what I think about him is a guy with a scally cap and a well-dressed guy at church who had a big smile and taught, I think it was fifth and sixth graders. I forget the ages. And he was the guy who would teach my daughter, Nawana. So he's a true churchman. But, you know, we hit it off pretty good talking about various things in Christian culture. And, you know, this was the 2020-2021 season where things were especially inhospitable to Christians online. Mm-hmm. And people were starting to see, it was starting to be more visible that the big social venues were not a safe place for Christians to discuss certain kinds of things. You could be easily censored or banned. You know, you start to get a sense that your kingdom come and your will be done. So much of what we want on this earth is a preview of heaven, and it just seems completely appropriate. It seems suitable for Christians to have alternative digital venues
mm-hmm.
where we can have a more puritanical and unapologetically puritanical approach to moderation. And by that, we mean applying the standards that we have as Christians to the conduct of people who are relating to each other online.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way that the internet works right now warps our sense of audience, warps our sense of what's proper in terms of conduct. Many of the things that the world glorifies online should be censored, mm-hmm. should be banned. And many of the things that Christians want to say, there's a chilling effect. So, you know, we got the idea that there's this open source software called Mastodon, and there's this public protocol for the nerds out there called ActivityPub.
Okay.
And you can install a Mastodon instance and lock it down. And what we did is we created Puritan Pub and decided that we wanted, it's somewhat of a social experiment. We wanted to rethink what kinds of things are important for identifying yourself in a social venue like that. So we required, at least in this context, maybe anonymity makes more sense elsewhere, but at least in this context, we require real names. And we require that you state the church to which you are attached.
Mm-hmm.
We require some basic orthodoxy. And then we moderate according to a standard that's friendly to a historic confession.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that for us, that had a lot to do with, you know, when I meet someone on the street who claims to be a believer, as an evangelist, one of the most important things I need to know about them to diagnose whether I think they need to be evangelized is whether they see the importance of belonging to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not a guarantee, but either way, but when somebody tells me that they're an active member of a faithful born again Christian church, what it does is it helps me trust better the credibility of their profession of faith.
Right. That's good.
So when we think about interacting with people online, fellow believers, I think one of the most important things we can do is assure each other that we're not just Lone Ranger cowboys who are here to be hyper-individualistic and maybe lacking total accountability in our lives. We want to make sure it's really helpful for us to be, it's ideal for us to be in a community where other believers that you can trace who they are back to the local church they belong to.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it helps us give me a sense of the rootedness of their identity as a Christian, their accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When people interact online, sometimes things go south, and it's helpful for someone to own their own conduct under the governance of their own church community.
Yeah, very good. I love that. And so it moves from the idea or the need, where there's this need here. And we know you get on Twitter, and I've been on Twitter here and there over the last, since like 2009, and it's a cesspool of trash, just awful. And the Christian conduct to one another is honestly frustrating. There is this, and you know, within Puritanism, there it, we desire the church to be pure. I mean, if we try to walk in the footsteps of the Puritans, then we care for the purity of the church. And yet there is a frustrating element of not just a lack of healthy ecumenicism on Twitter, but it is a cesspool of just bickering and backfighting, and just, it's a mess. And, you know, I can't be on it anymore. It just, it's not good for me. It's frustrating for me. And I do care about the purity of the church, but I also care about loving the body of Christ and demonstrating a cordial and a godly and a Christ-like spirit to one another in areas that are not, you know, central to the Christian faith. I think it's critical for us to know where those lines are. And when we don't, we end up being in this place where it really is sectarian, and everybody gets in their holy huddles, and then they've got Bible verses of why their holy huddles are not just permissible, but they're more virtuous and right than these other groups over here, and sectarianism becomes glorified. And I see that on Twitter like crazy, especially in the more, you know, quote unquote based reformed circles. And on the pub, I'm not on it nearly as much as I am on, but I ran over to Gab, and Gab is a cesspool of craziness as well. But some of the craziness that's there is mitigated with the pub. And so how's it been going, and what's your hopes long-term for the Puritan pub? And, you know, what's your pitch of, you know, you kind of laid it out there just for us, but what's your pitch of, okay, why either ditch all those other things, but why make the pub the primary place that you go when it comes to these kind of conversations? Yeah. Or just Christian, you know, being cordial with one another, godly with one another, and building one another up.
A few things. One is I don't want to withdraw from big social completely. I want to make sure I'm participating in the public marketplace of ideas. And there's a lot going on there, so I'll stay involved there. But it seems prudent for Christians in the long run to invest in alternative digital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So to start with, I don't think we should take for granted or presume that in 20 or 50 years, we're going to enjoy all the same freedoms we do today.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that there are freedoms we enjoy right now. And I really shouldn't be exclusively thinking about America here. It just, there's things you can't say in certain European countries, for example, that we should mm-hmm. be able to say. And so I think long-term it'd be healthy for Christians to start developing alternative infrastructure. I mean, eventually even down to the servers we own, mm-hmm. so that when we need to talk to each other, we can use this alternative infrastructure. Secondly, I would just make a pitch for those of you that have preteens and teenagers. I don't really want my, I don't want my preteens on social media. Goodness, no. But my 17-year-old's about to turn 18. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what I did. I don't know how well this will work out, but this is just what I'm doing. I did, you know, I know the world's going to drop on him pretty hard when he's launched out as an adult. And so what I had him do is I had him get a Facebook account, and I you know, let me know who you're friending. We're going to keep this circle pretty tight. And I gave him a kind of a instructions for post something family oriented on Wednesdays and something spiritually encouraging on Sundays. Why do I mention this? I'm watching young men right now on Twitter, especially, who I don't think are being shepherded well into sound speech that cannot be condemned, to borrow Paul's language, or dignified speech or dignified public conduct. So my pitch is, I think that it'd be healthy for the Christian community to have a digital enclave where we can train our youth up. And I don't necessarily, I'm not even thinking about youth being on the network, but just by extension, when they watch their dads, you know, participate in these networks, or maybe if they're just looking out over your shoulder, or maybe when they turn 18 and they can start participating, it's helpful for these young men to have a digital enclave, a safe Christian digital harbor, where we can train them up by way of example with standards of conduct that we think are imitable. Yeah. That'd be one pitch. The other pitch is sometimes I think Christians just need a place to be themselves. And there's, you know, we make fun of echo chambers. I think echo chambers are great when it's a matter of mutual encouragement. Echo chambers can be a positive force for good in our life when we have holy men around us or godly people who are committed to the same standards of conduct. I want iron sharpens iron. So, it's healthy to have alternative Christian digital venues where we can be ourselves, where we have alternative places to go when the world's not hospitable to us, and where we could grow spiritually watching each other conduct ourselves. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's
that
good,
would be
man.
My pitch.
And I think the echo chamber thing is a really, really good thing, especially when you're echoing the truth and you're being encouraged in the truth. And, you know, when if it's the same kinds of things that are coming your way and people that have a similar worldview, that can be a tremendous force. I mean, it's like this, interest multiplies over the years and the echo chamber can get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden there's more and more people that are encouraged, more and more people that are built up, and it can have a massive positive impact on families and in churches and that sort of thing. So man, I'm with you. The echo chamber is a really good thing. And it's kind of like, some of the things that we say are awful. Like even, you know, talking about sheltering our children, when you step back, you realize like, well, wait a minute. I think it's probably a good thing to shelter our children, as long as we're training them and doing exactly what you're talking about, training them for when they step into the world. But I think it's a right and good thing for me to protect them and guide them and shelter them and not just throw them to the wolves. I think that's a good thing. And I think the echo chamber thing, I mean, that's a great and a good positive thing for people to be involved in. So okay, back to a question you pulled up earlier and saying Christians need their own infrastructure here. So do you guys own your own server? I mean, is this, do you actually have that somewhere in a house or in a warehouse or somewhere like that? Do you own that kind of stuff?
No, I'm working toward that. Right now I use a virtual private server. And typically when you set something like this up, you need DNS, you need a server, you need what's called a storage server for like images. And you need a mail server. So I'm using shared services for a lot of that, but I've tried to make choices about what platforms I use. So it's maybe that the likelihood of being canceled is low. But we're definitely moving toward using more of our own infrastructure.
Yeah, that's good, because I think the appeal to me about, I've known that. I think a lot of the so-called free speech of the new Twitter is a farce. I don't think it is exactly what they say it is. And I think it's tremendously different than what Gab is. I think Gab is a whole lot, there's a whole lot more freedom there, almost to like a scary degree sometimes when you're on there, like, man, this is some crazy stuff. But with the pub then, and having that sort of control and, you know, wanting to be uncancelable, I think it is critical, because the ability to speak freely and to be in a it seems to me that, and I don't know how the internet world works, but with these TikTok bans and everything like that, that it would be a whole lot easier to shut things down if you don't have control of your product, if you don't have control of your servers and your infrastructure, than it would be if you do. And it seems like in the coming, like this year, could ramp up a lot leading up to this election, where that kind of control and squeeze gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And, you know, sites like what you're doing are going to be more and more critical, I think, in the years to come.
Yeah. Speaking about, you know, being canceled, one of the things that made it tough for Gab, I think, to mainstream more was the lack of an iOS or Android client. So you have to go to the web page, I think, and save it as a web app on your home screen. So what's nice about the Puritan Pub is it's using Mastodon. It's using this protocol called ActivityPub, which means you can get a client on the iOS App Store or the Android, the Google Play Store. You can get a client which works with Puritan Pub. So it's kind of like getting a browser. You know, a browser doesn't block. You get Google Chrome or Firefox on your Android device. There's no domains that are blocked on that. You could use it to access whatever. It's a neutral application. So you can get, there's dozens of clients available. So you could use Puritan Pub as though it has its own app really easily. That's been nice. Another way it's harder to cancel because we're using these open protocols. For the nerds out there, I would point them to another option called Blue Sky.
Okay.
The CEO of Twitter prior to Elon, he formed an internal group to work on a peer-to-peer alternative to Twitter. And they put some brains together and they're using something called the AT or the AT protocol, which is kind of a competitor to ActivityPub. Okay. And so they have a peer-to-peer platform, social media option called Blue Sky. Okay. And the long-term vision of Blue Sky is that users can voluntarily opt into moderation communities. So you could say, I don't want a woke group to moderate my content. I want a more conservative or Christian group to do so. So that there's a lot of neat options emerging for Christians. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what sort of things are going to be more mainstreamed and take off? I think a lot of Christians are using Facebook groups or Discord servers or Slack in the background. It's just harder. Mm-hmm. It's completely private. So this is kind of in the middle where the pub is publicly advertised as available to born-again believers who are attached to a local church.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Well, I mean, that front door then is closing off so many people that are going to come and mess everything up. And I like that. I think it's a great, great idea. So your primary ways of promotion, I saw you at conferences. So I saw you guys at Hope Baptist Conference a couple years ago, or 2 years in a row, I think. And then I saw Joe at the Founders Regional Conference in St. Louis. Is that kind of the primary way that you guys have been putting the pub out there? How is it that you've been trying to promote the work?
We've used Facebook. We've used our own social connections for now. What we're slated to do here, hopefully soon, is what we've been doing is like a dollar a month was the fee just to help pay for the servers. And what I'm doing is I'm reducing the costs of what I do. And I think what I'll do is make it something like a negligible entry fee. It's a one-time fee. And that friction actually helps weed out trolls and bots and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just like a dollar. And what we'll be doing there is then broadcasting more, marketing a whole lot more. Okay. We've played it pretty slow over the past couple of years, and we've been delighted to see pretty good daily activity on the pub. It's not grown quiet.
Yeah, man, that's great. And so it is a long-term vision, it sounds like. I mean, it's not like you're wanting to start this, see how it goes, and then, you know, kind of throw it kind of behind you in the rearview mirror. I mean, this is something you're wanting to pursue and really, invest in long-term then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and to encourage other believers who are nerds out there, hopefully, to set up their own alternative communities.
Man, I love it. Very cool. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us then, just tell us where we can find the Puritan Pub. And then also, I know that you've done some evangelistic work and I think you've done some debates and stuff as well that I've seen one or two of your debates or something like that, but I'd love for people to be able to find out what you're doing with, the street evangelism kind of stuff. And so if there's anything that you could point us to say, hey, check this out. Where can we go to find out more information about everything that you got going on?
Yeah, the first thing, puritan.pub. Just go to that site and you could follow the links to apply. It's pretty simple, but we'll get an email that tells us about your application and we'll do what we can to get you in as quick as possible. In terms of resources for evangelism to Mormons, I have a YouTube channel called Jesus Not Joseph. There's a number of debates on there. I've done a debate with a Mormon apologist named Robert Vukich, who spoke with me about a book called The Miracle of Forgiveness. It's a terrible title for the book. It's by a Mormon apostle who later became a prophet. And we talked about the conditions that are required for forgiveness.
Okay.
Whereas this book was more perfectionistic. So we've done that. I've done a number of like street interactions with LDS apologists, with, you know, normal LDS people who I'm grateful that are willing to talk. I've done a series, project that I would point people to if they're new to all this is the God Never Sinned project. Never Sinned. That's an easy find, where I do interviews on the street with Mormons asking whether Heavenly Father was perhaps a sinful mortal prior to becoming exalted as a God. This might sound crazy, but about 2/3 of the interviewees that were LDS said that they at least thought it was, you know, possible that maybe perhaps Heavenly Father was a sinful mortal prior to becoming forgiven and then exalted as a God. So that was my attempt at helping everybody on both sides understand just how starkly different our worldviews are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't have the same God. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100 believers firmly believes that God never was a sinner, whereas the LDS people, it's about 2/3 say that maybe he was a sinner.
Wow.
So it just shows you how different. So I've done some debates with Kwaku, who was kind of a comedian, actor, big personality, Instagrammer. And at the beginning, he seemed to be committed to Mormon orthodoxy and basic Mormon ideas. And so we did one debate on whether God has glory that he will not share, whether he knows the future. And then I think we had a section on predestination and free will. We did a second debate down at Utah Valley University titled, Is Jesus Enough? And that was kind of where I became more convinced that Kwaku is more of a personality who's going for like shock jock clout.
Okay.
And that's sort of borne out over the years now, is that it's okay. I don't really see him as representative of Mormons anymore.
Okay.
He's sort of a fringe personality. But I that debate for me didn't go well, and I said some things I wish I could reword, and I had some undignified exasperation in that debate. So people have different opinions about that one. I don't like to showcase it as though it's an imitable interaction. I wish that's one I don't feel the best about, but but I've got a lot of interviews on the YouTube channel, even with Mormon fundamentalists from polygamous groups. And so I mean, I hope that's helpful.
I would definitely point
people also to the GodLovesMormons.com project. That's not my project. It's one of my good friends, Bradley Campbell, does GodLovesMormons.com. And I think he just recorded a video like right here sitting in this chair yesterday with this background on Psalm 82, verse 6. But he's probably got the best material out right now for learning about how to engage the LDS people.
Okay.
And those kinds of videos are very high production value. You could hand them off to your LDS neighbors if you wanted to have some great discussions.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll make sure that's all in the show notes. And this has certainly been a lot of fun. We wish Joe could have been here for this, but maybe I'll have to jump on with him in a different interview at some point and just get to know him a little bit and then talk again about the pub. We'll have to make that happen. But man, I appreciate you coming on the show, Aaron, and I appreciate it. The last thing I asked everybody, I want to ask you, and it's just putting on the tee for you, swing for the fences, just praising God for his glory. So Aaron, brother, why do you love Jesus so much?
Well, I learned in high school, starting in high school, just how much of a sinner I am. I'm not a good person who does bad things. I'm a bad person who does bad things. cut from the same damned carnal cloth as Adam. And I learned that I was a slave to my sin. And what happened to me is I read the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says that God justifies the ungodly. To him who does not work but trusts him, he justifies the ungodly. At that same time in my life, I was reading the four Gospels, and I came to experience the fact that the best evidence for Christianity is the person of Jesus Christ. He has shown grace in a way that no other religious figure ever has, and he has offered me a salvation that I can't find any. To whom else will I go? For he has the words of eternal life. So is that God would become a man, that God would assume humanity, is there's nothing even possibly more beautiful than that. In the human experience, that is the best way God can show his love for us. So he saved me, he forgave me, and he has continued to be kind to me in the worst seasons of my Christian walk. So I'm very thankful that Jesus died on the cross. Today's Thursday, and Holy Week, and this is the night where he's I'm very thankful that at the end of my life I will have nothing to boast about, and that I could, the Bible says, I'm writing these things so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen. Amen. So good.
Godspeed.
Amen. This is so good. Aaron, I appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Keep coming back. If you haven't yet done that, please leave a rating or review. Consider that. And if this has been helpful or encouraging, share it with a friend and go check out the pub. Aaron, appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.